here on the island, both with Singing Waters and this body here at ACC, we love to serve the Lord. We love to be where He is. And so that is here. That's in our community. That's in relationships here. It's everywhere, isn't it not? And there's such great need out there in the world. The world we often sometimes don't know until we go and see it. And what's exciting is we're going to hear some stories today of some in our midst that went out and served in the country. I'm going to share a little bit even about my wife and I, who've gotten to do many trips in various places. And man, when we go and you begin to see the world and its condition is way different than here in the United States, begins to turn your heart to the things that God's heart is after. I wanted to share a brief teaching with you this morning before we jump into all that, just to ground us a little bit in God's word this morning. If you want to turn, this isn't on the screen behind me, but if you want to turn your Bibles in front of you to Matthew 25. We've been in a series between God's resurrection and his ascension. When Jesus did appear to his disciples again, he was spending time with them. He was teaching them. Well, I even want to go back even a little bit more back into Jesus's time with the disciples, even before his death, before his resurrection. He spent a lot of time caring about what the disciples would know for when he leaves, when he's not going to be there. This kingdom work, the way the kingdom functions, the way his kingdom, there are certain ways that Jesus designed things to go and his Father designed things to go. Chapter 25 has a lot in here. I'm just going to read these three stories and then briefly pull a couple things out of them. Starting in verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "they may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of servants returned and settled the accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here it is, what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. and throw in that worthless servant and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" The king will reply, "I will tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away in eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. These three passages come near some of the end of Jesus' ministry when he's preparing them for the end times as they close in, what they look like. And he wants a readiness. Do you catch that? A readiness amongst his believers, amongst those following him, a preparedness, an action. There's activity going on with this faith, this obedience to Christ. And I love those three stories. I'm not going into them in great depth. Just wanted to share maybe a couple of little quick thoughts. One, you notice like in each of them, there's kind of a different idea. The first one with the lamps, there's kind of an alertness or a preparedness. Having oil with them was really important, because then they had to go off and get some, those that weren't ready, and they missed it. There was just, you know, a lack of being prepared, a lack of focus, of readiness. And the second one, you have obviously the talents, a very popular story, but again, stewardship and investment. It seemed very important to the master that you do something with what he's given you. Now, you could look at this, I would say, even as an unbeliever, has God not brought rain on the righteous and the unrighteous, right? He made this world and blessed it thoroughly with everything that is good that he saw. And so he's given each of us in this room an entrustment with something, giftings, talents, abilities. What do we do with it? Do we do nothing with it? Do we fear because of maybe what I might do with it and, you know, or what might happen when he comes back if it's not worthy, right? And so I just bury it. And no, the point was they just did something with what they had. And so when he came back, there was more there. It produced. It was good stewardship. The last one, kind of leading into maybe this morning where we are, it's so neat to see Jesus' life and how he reached in to the poor, the needy, the sick, you know, just reaching into lives and making difference. I think coming from Jesus here, his teaching, I mean, he lived it out. He did these things. And he's saying, those who love me will obey my teachings, they will do what I ask them to do. And here, what's important to him is, again, that we meet needs, that we visit, you know, that we help the sick. You know, we have a prison ministry. We have orphanages. We have teams of YWAM going to play. There's a lot of this stuff getting lived out here, for sure. We're going to hear that this morning. So that's an encouragement to you as a body. You're doing this. But again, isn't it interesting here that it seems like amongst these three things, the worst case scenario would be to do nothing. Do you catch that? Like, you did nothing. You saw me sick and hungry or thirsty, and you did nothing. And it's not a good end for those people. You know, to be lazy and not take oil, or to, you know, be ready for this bridegroom that comes, and just sitting around and doing it is not good. And so we need to look for opportunities all the time in our lives. Where is God moving? What is he doing? What can I do to be a part of what God has given me, right? To serve, to help, to, you know, equip, to preach. This morning, first before I bring up the YWAM team, I wanted to bring Compassion International. We're going to show a video. I shared a little teaser video earlier of a sponsor child named Hunis, and we're going to look at her full story here. It's about 4 minutes long, and I'm going to explain a little bit about Compassion International. It's an opportunity where we can sponsor children throughout the world, but let's watch this video.
A child is waiting.
A child is waiting.
There are children around the world waiting.
Children are waiting.
I live here with my family, my mom and dad, and all my brothers. I am the only daughter. Our home is built over a very dirty river. And when the storms happen, our home floods with water and garbage. This is a scary place when it gets dark. People get drunk and fight all the time. I do not go outside at night because I don't know what would happen. Even though I live in this place, I have been sponsored for 14 years by Arlie and Nancy. I call them Mom and Dad.
Mom and Dad.
Although we are countries apart, I know they chose me. They tell me, Eunice, we remember you. We love you. You are like our own daughter. Because of my sponsors, I had the opportunity to go to the Compassion program at the church in my neighborhood. For all these years, my sponsors and my church have helped me to receive better food and medicine. With the help of my sponsors, I will be able to work, to help my own family. When I was 9, my Compassion teacher shared Jesus with us. And that's when I accepted Christ. Even though I am poor, He has provided my church. He gave me sponsors who love me. God will never leave us. I want to share everything I have learned with kids who are like me. Other children who need sponsors because they also experience poverty. I want them to feel the joy of having a sponsor, to get a letter that says, I love you, you are special to me. With the help of our sponsors, we can grow up and finish our studies and learn how to live our faith in Jesus. I want to serve the Lord, and I won't stop serving Him, because He does not stop loving me and taking care of me and my family.
There are children around the world waiting. Waiting for a sponsor like you.
Like you.
Release a child from poverty in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. A child is waiting for you.
Awesome. I want to bring up Constance here, and she's going to share just a couple quick thoughts with you. Compassion Sunday is actually going on all over the country right now. Other churches are doing exactly what we're doing right now to give people opportunity and awareness of how to sponsor children. And so I know it's hard to follow a video like that, but if this is Constance, she's going to be at a booth downstairs afterwards, but I want to give you a chance to share.
Hi. Sorry, I'm going to sit down because I'm exhausted. it's been a long couple of weeks. But I wrote everything down because I'm a little bit scatterbrained today. But I just wanted to share some things that I looked up for compassion, because being that I'm, I don't know, some may say kind of cynical, I wanted to assure you guys where this money was going if you choose to sponsor or donate today. It says that, let's see, I was really happy to find that 81% of anything that you donate goes directly to the children, the programs, their churches. So it goes directly to that, their programs. Also, they're to the top 1% of all nonprofits in the world. So they're really, you know, up there. They really pay attention. They're really well connected. But on a personal note, I began sponsoring through Compassion last year. My first sponsor daughter's name was Rayan Jamal. She was 3 years old when I started sponsoring her. Through some family issues, she was removed from the program, which is very heartbreaking, and it's really hard for me because we really loved her. My kids called her sister. We'd write letters to her all the time. We'd receive letters from her and things. And just knowing that we were able to touch her life for that short, you know, 6-7 month span of time was really awesome. We now sponsor a young woman who's working her way through vocational school. Her name is Stacy. She lives with a relative. Her parents are both deceased. She's going for computer technology. She just turned, well, no, she's just turned 20 this month, actually. So she's 21. So she's a young woman. She's one of the older women left in the program, but due to family, again, circumstances, and her really trying to better herself, she's been allowed to stay in the program. But receiving letters from Rayan and Stacy is a special event at my house. My two children love them. They love getting news from them. And it's just amazing to watch as a mother the love that these two, you know, 4- and 6-year-old kids have for kids on the other side of the world they've never met. I'm blessed to call these children my sponsor daughters, and I'm blessed to have a one-on-one relationship with them. And the love my children are capable of, and seeing that and hearing them excitedly tell someone about their sisters in Kenya is just amazing. I'm blessed to have a place to send all the arts and crafts that my kids can't seem to stop making so I can see my floors and have them appreciated the way they should be. And I have a lot more to say, but if you have questions, you can always ask me downstairs because, you know, time is not always on my side. We have 4 packets today for sponsor children. That doesn't mean I can only sponsor 4 children today. And I think I'll have John show you those in a minute because I'm getting a little nervous. But you can make a change today, and nothing has to be the way it is. We can be a loving force in this world. Our church can help other churches across the world. Our church here can enable these churches in these poor places to help the people in their communities. You know, we don't have to leave things the way they are. Only you know your heart, so if you feel that pull to come down and ask us a question tonight or this morning, please come down and do that. I wanted to share a little story that I like about a starfish. There's a young woman. She's walking across the beach early in the morning, and the tide was out, and there's all these starfish along the beach. She's throwing them one by one back in the water. And there was a young man that walked up and said, you know, what are you doing? She said, well, I'm saving these starfish. And the young man goes, well, you know, that's pointless. There's so many. You'll never save them all. And the young woman said, threw another one back, and she said, well, it mattered to that one. So she was able to save one at a time. She was able to make a difference through that. And so it was really something that touches me that way. So thank you.
Thank you, Constance. So there is this opportunity. It is such a great thing to be able to be called a mom or a dad or a sister or a brother. And you have that opportunity this morning. And like I say, there's these packets that they gave us, which are these 4 kids, but we also can show you many more downstairs. So feel free to take advantage of this opportunity this morning and peruse what that looks like. And then just a specific, it's about $38 to sponsor a kid. Basically, as I would tell people, it's like a soda a day. If you were to give up a soda a day out of your normal regime, you could take on a kid, and it's just a life-changing experience for you and for them. So lots of information downstairs for you to get on that. We want to spend the rest of our time this morning bringing up Annie, and she's going to bring parts of her team up. YWAMers can come up. This is going to be YWAM Catalina, and I'm going to let them explain more of who they are and what they did and everything, but we're going to spend the rest of our time with you guys this morning.
Thank you, John, and thank you, ACC, for having us and letting us share here today. We feel like it's such an honor, and I love that you're sharing with the compassion. What a wonderful thing. I mean, and that's the thing. If we can all do something, we can really change the world and impact the world. And we're going to share about the little something that we've been doing here. And so first, I just want to give you a really short intro on how YWAM Catalina came about. I know that for about 20 years, there'd been people here on the island really praying and interceding for YWAM Catalina to come forth. And it just so happened that we're out at Emerald Bay. We run an organization out at Emerald Bay, and we'd been praying that we could get some change in our staff situation. And it just so happened that we got a word from the Lord, two different people, that we should partner with YWAM. We didn't know much about YWAM. Well, it's a long story, but I'm going to make it short. Within 10 days, I'm interviewing this young man that wanted to start coming to work for us, and his last name was Dawson. And he said, oh, by the way, when I told him what we were going to be, that we felt that God was leading us to partner with YWAM, he said, well, my dad is the president of YWAM International. We didn't go out looking for him. It just dropped in our lap. So we knew that God's hand was really on this whole situation with bringing YWAM to the island. John Dawson then came over and just said, gosh, I really see that YWAM Catalina is going to be, you know, it's going to end up really impacting people all over the world. So that's basically just a little bit about how YWAM, that was in 2008. 2010, we went and started, my husband and I, Fran, started looking into doing a DTS, and we did that in 2012, and we've just finished our fourth YWAM. So I'm going to, first of all, introduce, we've got some students here, and we've got some students that are actually in different parts of the world here right now. So one student's going to share, and then some of the staff is going to share. So let's give it up to Rico here. Oh. I think... Oh, you know what? Thank you, Fran. Sorry, one more thing. Fran's like, did you introduce what YWAM is? YWAM stands for Youth with a Mission, okay? And there is 18,000 full-time YWAMers right now throughout the world that are training 25,000 part-time short-term missionaries. They're in 180 nations around the world, and there's been almost 5 million people go through YWAM Youth with a Mission programs in the last 50 years. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Yeah. So they really are impacting. We believe, you know, YWAM, it's one of the great, there's many great missionary organizations out there, and we feel blessed and honored to be part of YWAM. So, once again, did I get everything? And a DTS, yeah, there's all these acronyms, you know, YWAM, SBCC, so DTS is a discipleship training school, and it's basically 3 months of training. The mission statement of YWAM is to know God and to make him known, okay? And the know God part is the first training part, which is 3 months, where we have a different speaker come every week, and they tell all about, they teach the foundational values of Christianity. And then after that, when you're all geared up, you go out for 2 months to different places around the world. We went to Mexico, Thailand, and Cambodia. And it was an awesome experience, and I'm going to let these guys share. Okay, Rico! Yes.
Hello, everyone. So I'm going to explain my personal experiences that I had in Mexico, Cambodia, and Thailand. all vastly different places and all extremely different things that we were doing. So Mexico was an interesting thing because, you know, I've been to Mexico. I kind of understand the language, not as well as I wish, but thanks, Dad. Didn't teach me. So, yeah. So we were pretty much just working with churches, doing construction projects, and then during the night, we would do worship services and healing services. And that's when I really saw just, like, the power of God, really. It's, I remember our first day there, there's this guy healed of a brain tumor. And I'm just like, oh, that happens? That's cool. So I remember we had a streak. I counted it. It was 21 healings in a row. Like, every single time we prayed for healing, someone was healed. And it was just so, so empowering just to see. And God was really showing me that, hey, you might have a gift for healing, Rico. And I was like, thanks. And then he also helped me with speaking in people's lives because, you know, healing of the physical body is really important, but sometimes healing of the mind and the spirit can really change a life. So he really helped me with that. He was giving me words, and I was just calling people out like, hey, you are really into academics. He's like, yeah, I'm training to become a physics guy. I'm just like, yes, God's good. So, yeah, I learned a lot about my spiritual, I don't know, giftings because of Mexico. Also, the last part was music. Music is very important to me. And there was a time when the pastor told me, hey, Rico, just play the drum. I'm like, okay, do you want me to play a certain tune? He's like, no, just play the drum. I feel like God's going to do something. So I get on, it's a djembe, it's called. So I'm just playing the drum, whatever. And then the spirit in the room just exploded, and I was like in such an altered state, I can't even explain it. But someone came up to me afterwards, like, yeah, God is, he wants to move in your hands. When you play, you know, God moves. So now I come back here, you know, with all this new stuff. So I want to pray for healing. I want to pray for, you know, your mind, and I want to play music, you know, for God. So, I mean, praise. So Mexico was fun. We go to Cambodia, first time being overseas, so that was overwhelming at times. People say, you know, Rico, you're so peaceful all the time. You seem almost high. It's like, well, I have this peace of God, but in Cambodia, the peace of God, I was not feeling it, to be honest. So it was new for me, feeling this thing called anxiety to a very high degree. But that's, you know, God healed me in that. He showed me. He was way more real than I thought. When, you know, the things get tough, you look around, you don't know what's going on, you're paranoid, and then God's there, and he's like, you're okay, you're fine, I'm here. And yeah, it was so cool. So in Cambodia, we mostly did kids outreach. We would go to these slums where, you know, people would be living in trash, and we would do skits, arts and crafts, fun stuff like that. And just to see these kids and how joyful they were, it, you know, we always say, oh, we have so much here, and then you see them, and they're so joyful, but I mean, I'm going to say it again. They have this joy. I remember there was this one kid, he came up to me, gave me a hug, and I looked in his eyes, and there was such joy, I had to look away. Just, I couldn't handle it. And I've seen joy. I mean, I was there when the football team won the big championship and looked in, you know, Jared's eyes, and his eyes just like joy, and it's like awesome. This kid is just, it was beyond that, and I couldn't comprehend that he could have this much joy while he had, you know, scabs everywhere and barely any clothes. It just really taught me that we can be joyful in any situation. God, you know, God can do that. Thailand, also vastly different. It was mostly just getting to know this particular tribe that we were with called the Karen people. So it was more 2 weeks of just doing that. For a long period of time, they didn't even want us to do any work because they were very hospitable. So we would want to, like, help out in the church. They're like, no, just sit and we'll feed you, and that's it. Like, no, we're trying to do something here. So that was kind of interesting. But God really, you know, showed up in there as well. I found out that, you know, my dog had died while I was in Thailand, and you're kind of, you have to deal with that. But God becomes another thing in every situation. That's what I found out. In every situation that you're going through, God will be the provider of that. He will be the healer when he needs to be, and he will be whatever that you need. So it just showed me the provision of God and how, you know, how great he is. So, yeah, I'm a changed man, as they say. So, yeah, this right here is from the Karen people. I found out like 25 minutes ago that it's actually, the women wear this, the black color. It means that they're married, so. Yeah, that's what's happening. Oh, well. I'm probably still going to wear it. I like this color. So, not everyone knows this information. Don't share it. But, yeah. So, that was my personal experience being abroad. And I would encourage everyone just to go on a missions trip. It's life-changing. So, thank you.
Very inspiring. Thanks, Rico. And now, Adeline and Connor, they were our outreach leaders while on this amazing time.
All right, so I had a little slideshow that I had put together for our time. So this is while we were in Mexico. I really like this picture because it was awesome to see Jose and Mason preaching together, just grandfather and grandson. I thought it was a great moment with just like keeping like in the tradition of like just like passing it down to the next generation. So I thought it was really awesome. And Jose was awesome to have him in Mexico. It was kind of like you felt like you just like had like that extra protection while you're there. So it was really, really cool. So do you want to say anything about Mexico?
It was just really, it was great just to come alongside. We had some partners named Sammy and Rosa there, and they are just total firecrackers. They just love Jesus so much, and they had something every day, something new planned for us. And so we just got to go, and we did a lot of uplifting other churches, as Rico mentioned. And so this is what was one of the churches. We were just helping them take out the trash, or basically. And then this is Cambodia. We didn't have much pictures for Mexico. Sorry. We were too busy working. But in Mexico, we did a lot of slum ministry with the kids. So we would go visit a slum for about a total of 5 days, and we'd visit a different slum every week. And we'd get to go and do skits and arts and crafts and things like that with them, and we'd teach them about a story. And mostly we would teach them throughout the 5 days the story of the gospel and how God created us and the earth and everything, and how to take care of both of those things. And so it was really cool just to tell these little kids and look in their eyes, like he was saying, like the such joy and like scabs all over them, and say, "You are precious. Like God loves you so much." And yeah, so that was my little. I just love them so much, and seeing their faces.
So yeah, this is more of the slum. So the upper left-hand corner, actually, this really cool because we went there last year, and that slum was completely bare sand, like nothing there at all but sand in this whole lot. And then we prayed over the lot, and then we come back the next year, and there's the tall trees there in the back one were actually tall and like had huge papayas on them. So it was like within the year's time, there's 20-foot tall trees that are fruiting already within a year. So that was really cool. Also really like a bottom right-hand picture of Rico leading the kids in prayer. We led the kids in prayer at each of the slums. So we would go to the different slums for a week at a time and then visit there for half of the day while we were there in Cambodia.
Can I mention something? So can we go back to the last one? Thanks. So I don't know if you guys can see it, but in this bottom one where they're praying, there's a little kind of like an altar right there that's for Hindu and Buddhist gods. And I just wanted to explain that really quick, is that a lot of these cultures operate so much out of fear, and that that little altar thing is, I've been told that it's to, it's like inviting kind of terrifying spirits to keep them away from their house. So it's like so that they're separated from them. And so it was just, it's very heavily ingrained in the culture, and even though we were partnering with Christian ministries and getting to share the gospel with kids, and they're openly accepting it and loving it, just in their community and their families. There's such a need just for freedom. So it was amazing. Also, I really loved working in Cambodia. There was another ministry there called XP Ministries. And I think that was the most rewarding thing, is that you're going for short-term missions, but you get to leave a little piece of hope with them and connect them to another ministry that is going to be, they're constantly there in these slums. They see them every day. And so you're not just like, okay, you're written in the book of life, I'll see you later. But, you know, you're like, here's some tools on how to follow Jesus and those kinds of things. So anyways.
Next one. So the one on the left, that's actually the building that we stayed in while we were in Cambodia. And then on the right, that's just one of the many streets that that's what we were out picking up supplies for our aquaponics system that we built in Cambodia, which I do realize I don't have any pictures of that. Kid City Laser Tag. So one of the days we were there, we got to take all of the kids from this ministry, because there's kids that they're rescuing there. We got to take them out for a full day, like, extravaganza at this Kid City. So they got to play laser tag. They got to go on go-karts, little go-kart track. It was really, really cool. So that's one of the things we did. So this picture on the left, do you want to tell about that?
So we did arts and crafts that kind of related to the theme of the message we did every day, and I just thought this was really cool, so I want to share. This little girl, I asked them to draw a picture of how they think that God views them after sharing all of how God views them. And so this little girl draws a picture of a really big flower. She's not finished with it there, but it ends up having angel wings and a crown. And I just thought it was so precious and beautiful. So. Oh, no, next one. And then this little girl, so the one in the middle is different, but these two are the same. And her name is Srai Thai. So I actually met her one day. We were out just in the slum, just talking to people and seeing if they're open to like receiving Jesus, or if they just want to talk about things and get prayer. And, we ran into this little girl. She was all alone in the slum, and she was following us around. And we ran into her neighbor. And so her neighbor was telling us through a translator all her story and basically saying, she doesn't have a mom. Her mom died when she was really young. And that her dad works for the garbage company. So he has a job, but he's constantly gone. And that when he's there, he's also alcoholic. So it's not the safest situation for this little girl living in a slum. And that the neighbor was telling us all about how they had been trying to get her into schools, like lots of different schools with lots of different ministries. And every time it's just been a no-go. Like it hasn't worked out or anything. Something's happened. And it was really amazing because we got to have the opportunity to take a picture of her face and give it to the ministry that we were there with. And they actually provide schools for these little kids. And the coolest part is that in these schools, they're allowed to just share Jesus with them and talk to them about the love of God constantly every day. And so just seeing the flip of living in a slum where there's so much potential danger just with drugs and influences around her, that she can just go to school and learn about God and just have that. Like, I just can't imagine what a change of life, what pace that would change. And just, I can't wait to just see her in heaven and see what God has for her. So, before I tear up.
This is Thailand. So you can go next one. This is the church. We did some painting on the church. I also realized I don't have any pictures of the finished project of the painting on the church. I just didn't think of getting that, sorry. Ban Rai Church, which means garden church. That's down on the bottom right. Rico and then Kolo too. He was our translator while we were there. Can go to the next one. This is one of, so as Adeline was saying, with the spirit of like darkness that they have there. But also, we were there, we got to see a really beautiful sunrise as well. So I thought that was kind of like cool. Like, yes, there's darkness, but there's also new hope that we were helping to usher in. So, I mean, it was a Christian community, but also very close and surrounding the Christian community. There's, like, Buddha statues all over the place, and there's little shrines also all over the place. We got to have a day off going to the waterfall. Phi, she was also one of our translators while we were there. It was really cool to have these. These are bottom right-hand corner. There is us buying, looking at bags that the women of the community make. They make bags. They also make shirts. So like the shirt that Enrique is wearing, that was like one of the shirts they made. Also, the top, that is, this is at one of their Thanksgiving services. Like, so first we thought, oh, Thanksgiving, that's cool. But then we realized that Thanksgiving meant that they have a Thanksgiving service like once or twice a week, and that's just their time to give thanks. So that was kind of cool. And then you can go to the next one. So on the bottom slide, that's we played games with the kids. There's more kids than this, but this is just one of the pictures we had. We played games with the kids on the weekends when they were out of school, and we had like a whole program set up for them that we did. And so, yeah, thank you guys for your support. You definitely made it possible for all of us to be able to go on outreach. So, again, thank you all very much for your support.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, you guys, for being a part of our journey. And I'm going to just, we've got a couple more minutes here, but I, you know, we can, as it says up here, Christ told us to go and make disciples of all nations. And not everybody can go. But what one of the things that you guys did is you sent your dollars so that people that could go did go. So we are really grateful for you for that. We will be doing the future of YWAM Catalina. Every September, we'll be doing these discipleship training schools. So tell your neighbors or your kids or your nephews or grandkids. It's a real life-changing experience. It really is. And this church has been sending people out for, I think, 20-plus years. So we're grateful for that. We are going to be doing some secondary schools. Enrique, can you just share a little bit? What YWAM does is you can actually get a degree, and so you get credits for doing your discipleship training school, and then we will be doing some secondary schools like aquaponics. We go to different places in the world that have problems with food, and we build these aquaponics programs, and then we'll be sending people out to tend those. So, Enrique.
Great. Thank you. So one of the secondary schools we're looking at is called the School of Biblical Studies. And so we recognize that when you go out and try to make a difference in all places of this world, that a lot of it is just they need some discipleship. You know, a lot of nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. And so we wanted to be able to see if we can put together a school, be praying for this, that we would be able to have a school for kids that, or those that have graduated from the DTS to come to the school, and we will train them and teach them how to go through the scriptures and to be able to effectively teach them. As they go out. And so that's a possibility down the road. Be praying for that. We have other ideas and other thoughts, and we're just waiting on God to see what he says and how he confirms for us. But we definitely have seen the hand of God as he's established this ministry here on this island, and we're looking at what he's going to do next because he's always moving us forward. And so we're really excited about what he's already done, but we're especially excited for what he's going to do. Thank you.
One more quick thing. We are, you guys may have remembered a few months back when YWAM ships came, and we've been partnered with YWAM ships. Well, God is giving us a ship, a 112-foot ship, so we will be actually doing ministries on this ship as well. We'll do some training on the ship so people can come and get their captain's license or able-bodied seamen. And then they can go out to Mercy ships or YWAM ships or, go out and go on a freighter, whatever, you know. But they can get their training, and it will be biblical-based as well.
Thank you so much. Again, we so appreciate.
Let's just give them all a hand again for sharing with us. And keep up. Keep up the good work. You know, it's fun to do this from time to time and just share stories with you because you're a part of that. You're a part by even the financial support in sending them. But I'd also remind you that You know, just like in that talents thing, he gave each one to a portion to his ability, to never think that you're too old, too young, I could never go that far in the world and go do something. Just God can do anything in through your life if you just stay open and available for how God would have your life meet another life. And I'm telling you, just one life at a time makes a whole world of a difference. And so we're thankful for teams like this. We're thankful for, you know, sponsoring children, all the different ways you as an individual stays involved in the activity of our faith, right? The action of our faith out there in the world. Let me pray, and we're going to close in a song together. Father, we thank you for your willingness to work in and through us. I mean, that might even be a thought in itself of like, wow, you want to use me in these ways, Father, to accomplish that? And going where? We've seen you do so many amazing things through a letter to a kid, to a visit in prison, to an inmate, to missions trips abroad, just relationship building here in town. May we never doubt that you can speak and work through me, our life. And so I just pray that each of us would remember that you grabbed our life from this despair and hopelessness it was in at one point, and you gave us Jesus. You gave us life. You gave us light. Gave us hope. And that wasn't just for it to stay with us. That was for us to express and give that all back to you by giving it away to others. So, Lord, we do that. We go from this place right now, this room, with an overflowing joy and life of you. And so may we not hesitate at making that available to others and telling them all about it. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.